Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, you're listening to Day by Day, Fleetwood Mac, Episode 1, about their self-titled debut album. And for the next 2-plus weeks, Day by Day, we're going to go through the Fleetwood Mac discography. So year by year, album by album, we will hear the story of the band, and then track by track, I will go through each of the Fleetwood Mac albums, beginning today with their self-titled debut, which came out in 1968. Also known as Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. So the band Fleetwood Mac originally formed in July of 1967 in London, and the founder was Peter Green, guitar player Peter Green, whose name was shortened from Greenbaum, and he started the band after he left John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, a band in which he had replaced Eric Clapton. And it was in that band, the Blues Breakers, that Peter Green met drummer Mick Fleetwood and bass player John McVie. Mick Fleetwood was the lanky, wayward son of a decorated fighter pilot, and before the Blues Breakers, he was in a band called Peter B's Lunars, which was named for the keyboard player Peter Barden. That band eventually changed its name to Shotgun Express after they added a singer named Rod Stewart. And Rod Stewart would enter our story again when Blues Breakers drummer Ainsley Dunbar left that band to join Rod in the Jeff Beck Group. And it was then that Peter Green recommended Mick Fleetwood to replace Ainsley Dunbar. So the Blues Breakers then consisted of Peter Green, Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, and John Mayall. In April of 1967, John Mayall gifted Peter Green some free studio time at Decca Studios in London. Four songs came out of those recording sessions, one of them being an instrumental that Peter Green called Fleetwood Mac. He named it after the rhythm section that played with him on the song, Mick Fleetwood and John McVie, Fleetwood Mac. Soon after this, Peter Green suggested to Fleetwood that they form their own band. So by this time, Mick Fleetwood had been fired from the Blues Breakers, apparently in relation to his excessive drinking. And so he was very willing to start a new band with Peter Green. But John McVie was still a member of the Blues Breakers, so he was hesitant to leave the Blues Breakers to join this new band. So one theory is that Peter Green named the band Fleetwood Mac as further enticement to get John McVie to join them. But McVie was still hesitant. So when the band first started, they had a bass player named Bob Brunning, who they actually found through an ad in the paper. And it seems that Brunning always understood that they wanted McVie in the band, and if McVie ever acquiesced and joined the band, then Brunning would be out. The original lineup of Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green, Mick Fleetwood, a guitar player named Jeremy Spencer, and Bob Brunning, that band made its debut at the Windsor Jazz and Blues Festival in August of 1967, billed as Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, also featuring Jeremy Spencer. That's how they were actually billed. And it was at that gig, at that festival, where they first met singer and piano player Christine Perfect, which is actually her real name, which she inherited from her father, Cyril Perfect. So Perfect is actually Christine McVie's actual last name. It's not a stage name. And at the Windsor Jazz and Blues Festival, she was playing keyboards with a band called Chicken Shack, who were on the label Blue Horizon that would soon sign Fleetwood Mac, that same label. So Bob Running only played a few gigs with Fleetwood Mac, and within weeks, actually, of the Windsor Jazz and Blues Festival, John McVie finally agreed to join the band, and Bob Running went on to join Savoy Brown. So now they've got Fleetwood and Mac in the band, and like I said, they got a record deal. They signed with Blue Horizon, went into the studio, and recorded their debut album. Released in February of 1968, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac is a mixture of blues covers and originals penned by guitarists Peter Green and Jeremy Spencer. Peter and Jeremy shared lead vocal duties on the album. And this would be the only Fleetwood Mac album that did not include any involvement at all from future member Christine Perfect, who soon after joining the band became Christine McVie. But we'll get to that in days to come. And this debut album by Fleetwood Mac, or Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, was a hit in the UK, went top 10, reached number 4, and it stayed on the charts for 37 weeks, even though it did not have a hit single. The album barely made the charts in the US, squeaking into the Billboard Top 200 at number 198. But it was an underground hit in the US, especially among musicians and guys in bands, one of those deals. And, you know, the album is considered a classic release of the British blues boom, you know, which goes back to John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, which, you know, Fleetwood Mac is an offshoot of, so. Let's get into this album, Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac. It opens with a song called My Heart Beat Like a Hammer, written by Jeremy Spencer. This recording sounds great. I like the guitar sound, and I like Jeremy's vocals. Basic blues structure, but the song is entertaining, and it's less than 3 minutes long. I can definitely hear why in 1968 rock fans were really into this. And one of my personal favorites, Status Quo, were obviously heavily influenced by this kind of material. They just sped it up and gave it more production and a bit more harmony, melody. But this is an excellent recording, especially for the time. The instrumentation, the instruments sound killer, especially the guitars. The rhythm section is kind of buried in the mix, but this is not really kind of music I gravitate towards, but this is an enjoyable recording, and like I said, it sounds great. Well, my heart beat like a hammer, my eyes burn full of tears. Yes, my heart beat like a hammer, my eyes burn full of tears. All right, the second song on the album is called Merry Go Round, written by Peter Green, 4 minutes long. This is the exact kind of slow, generic blues that I can't stand. I really don't care about guitar noodling. I'm sure it's great guitar playing, but I don't care. It's not what I want to listen to. So this is just my opinion, my taste, but I can't stand this kind of music. And I just have zero interest in listening to it. Yes, when I first met you, baby, I didn't even know your name. I was feeling so low on the ground that luck and evil women are once to blame. Up next, third song on the album is called Long Gray Mare, and gray is spelled with an E, G-R-E-Y. Barely more than 2 minutes long, it's upbeat and brief, so those are big pluses, but the repetitive nature of the blues structure like this, it does very little for me, like I said about the last song. Just not something I'm interested in listening to, but it's short.
Long gray mare, why can't it be just like before? Long gray mare, why can't it be just like before? We used to ride so hard until we just couldn't ride no more. Let me play it again.
Fourth song on the album is a Robert Johnson song called Hellhound on My Trail. Again, this one's 2 minutes long. This is a piano version of the song. It's a haunting song and a cool idea to approach it like this. So I can definitely appreciate it. And, you know, the blues that I can get into is that acoustic, folky stuff going back to Robert Johnson, Lead Belly. This is just kind of a brief interlude, and it's not bad.
I gotta keep on moving, gotta keep on moving, that hell out on my trail, that hell out on my trail.
Shake your money maker, take one.
Remake, take one.
Go on, take one.
Fifth song on the album is another old blues song called Shake Your Moneymaker by Elmore James. I definitely appreciate a song like this more when it's played at this faster tempo. But again, the formulaic, repetitive nature of this kind of a blues song is just not my kind of song. It's not the kind of thing I seek out to listen to. There's nowhere for a song like this to go. It just sticks to this very limited, boxed-in template. And I understand why these guys had fun playing this kind of music. I just think they had a lot more fun playing it than I have listening to it. It's not horrible. It's kind of fun, but it's not something that I'm going to choose to put on. All right, ending side one, another song from Peter Green called Looking for Somebody. And 5 seconds in, I know I'm going to hate this. It's a mellow blues tune. Crazily, there isn't even any guitar on the track. It's all mouth harp. I'll pass.
I got a feeling a blues gonna be my only way. I got a feeling a blues gonna be my only way. But when you're looking for somebody, I'm looking for somebody.
tell me, woman, how'd you see a man like me? Tell me, woman, how'd you see a man like me? You look so nice.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, flipping the record over, side two opens with a Chester Burnett song called No Place to Go. The exact kind of basic, generic, repetitive blues song that I hate. These songs, they're all basically the same, at least to me. I don't hear where a song like this is different from a million other songs. That's really what it comes down to, I guess. I don't get it. Horrible to listen to, in my opinion.
Well, where you gonna be? Gonna wreck my life. How many more times you're gonna treat me like you do?
Second song on side two is a Jeremy Spencer song called My Baby's Good to Me. And at least this one is upbeat, and I like Jeremy Spencer's voice. But again, this song follows a very intentional, very basic formula. Again, fun for them to play, not that fun for me to listen to, but more entertaining than the last couple of songs.
Fine as a little girl should be.
Third song on side two is a Peter Green song called I Loved Another Woman. Again, 5 seconds in and I'm ready to skip. The best thing I can say about this album is most of the songs are short. Fourth song on side two is Cold Black Night, Jeremy Spencer song. Slow, plodding blues, exactly what I can't stand. Just completely pointless, in my opinion. I mean, maybe you're supposed to get drunk or stoned and basically nod off while listening to this. Halfway to a coma already just because of the song.
And the rain was falling down.
Alright, next song by Peter Green, The World Keep On Turning. I definitely enjoy this kind of song a little bit more when it's stripped down like this, but again, I don't appreciate this kind of music. But this is interesting to listen to just because it's Peter Green and a guitar. Just that's it. Nothing else. And obviously, Peter was very good at this. I don't like it very much, but at least it's interesting.
But nobody saw me crying. Nobody knows the way I feel. Nobody saw me crying. Nobody knows the way I feel. Yeah, the way I love the woman, it's bound to get me killed.
All right, the album ends with a song called Got to Move. Fucking A, this is awful.
Got to move. You can't stay here no more. You got to move. You can't stay here no more. Oh, yes. You my baby. I love you so, but still you gotta go away from here. You won't cook, you won't wash, you won't iron, you won't sew. Oh no, you won't even scrub the floor. You my baby, I love you so, but still you gotta go.
All right, we've made it through the album. Thought I would mention here, that after the album came out, the band released a single, non-album single, in March. So we're talking about a month after the album came out, they released a single called Black Magic Woman, which was written by Peter Green, lyrics inspired by his former girlfriend Sandra Elsden, who Green had nicknamed Magic Mama. And Green has also acknowledged that the music for Black Magic Woman was influenced by All Your Love by Otis Rush. And that song had actually been recorded 2 years earlier by John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Now, that was the Eric Clapton version of the band before Peter joined. But Peter Green has said that one of the things he learned from John Mayall was, quote, "If you really like something, you should take the first lines and make up another song from them. So that's what I did with Black Magic Woman." A couple years later, in 1970, Santana would include the song on their album Abraxas, and it actually was a number one hit, and that album went quadruple platinum. I honestly don't like the song very much, but I can also hear why it became a classic. So this is pretty good songwriting from Peter Green, but I can appreciate this on whatever level. At the same time, it's not something I would choose to listen to. But I thought I would mention it here because it came out a month after the album, and it's, you know, one of the more famous songs, maybe the most famous song to come out of this version of Fleetwood Mac. So there you have it. We're done talking about the first album by Fleetwood Mac, and we will move on to their second album, Mr. Wonderful. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I need you so bad. I need you, darling.